Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the first thing to notice about our gospel lesson for the day is that Jesus spoke it to his disciples. And so that means that this is a message specifically addressed to people who are Christian believers. Now, the second thing that's notable about this parable is that Jesus uses bad behavior as an example for us to follow, but not to follow it in its badness, to do the exact opposite, to follow the example, but in an opposite kind of way. What's the point? Well, the point is found down in verses 8 and 9. In verse 8, Jesus says, "The children of this world," the unbelievers, all right, "they are in their generation," that is, among their own kind, unbelievers among unbelievers, "they are shrewder." The King James Version has wiser, but the word is more properly shrewder than the children of light. Christians can sometimes be naive and dumb, but the children of the world are pretty shrewd, and they know how to get along in life. All right? And Jesus says, "You, children of light, you, Christian believers, be shrewd like this steward was. He knew how to make sure he had a soft landing." You got to make sure you have a soft landing as well. You see? All right, so let's review the story. There's a rich man, owner of a big estate, and he has a manager. That's what a steward is. A steward is a guy that's hired to manage the owner's estate. The steward or the manager owns nothing. The owner owns it all. All right, that's important to know. So now, the thing about a manager is, you've got to do a good job if you want to stay manager. And you have to have a reputation for being good at your work and also for being scrupulous and honest. Nobody but the mob wants to hire a shady manager. All right? So this guy was the manager of a rich man's estate, and an accusation was brought against him. Somebody came to the owner and said, "Your manager has been wasting your goods." And the owner goes to him and he says, "What is this that I hear?" He says, "All right, hand in your books, give an account, get everything up to date. You are fired. You are fired." So now, the manager, he's like, "What am I gonna do? I can't dig. You know, I've got such soft hands. I can't dig. And I've got too much pride to beg." And then all of a sudden, the light goes off. Bing! "I know what I'll do so that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they will receive me into their houses." What he's going to do is, he's going to give all of his master's debtors a big discount on their debt. He's going to lower their debt so that they will be indebted to him, and that he will make friends so that when he's fired, he'll have people who are beholding to him, and he will find a new place to work. You see, he knows, he's shrewd, and he knows how to make sure he has a soft landing. Right? Now, the odd thing about the story is that after he discounts all of the master's debtors' debts, you would think that the master would be furious. You would think that he would call the cops, that he would press charges, that he would have this guy thrown into prison. But listen, it's one child of the world, another child of the world, and they're doing what the children of the world do. And so it says in the beginning of verse 8, the Lord commended the unjust steward. Commended is a strong word there. It's like, you ever have an experience where somebody does something and you don't really approve of what they did, but you gotta hand it to them? They are shrewd. That's what it means here. I gotta hand it to this guy. He knows how to feather his nest. This guy is shrewd. He's a crook. He's no good. But you gotta hand it to him. He knows how the world works. He knows how to get it done. And that's what this text is saying. The Lord is not commending the unjust behavior as if it's good behavior. The Lord is, if you will, grudgingly acknowledging this guy is no dummy. All right? This guy knows what's up. He knows how to make sure that things go his way. You gotta hand it to him. He's a schnook, but you gotta hand it to him. All right? And that's when Jesus begins. Now, you can imagine all the disciples. They are standing there listening to this with weird looks on their faces, because Jesus has just used an example of unjust, unrighteous, and crooked behavior. And he's using it as an example. So how does Jesus begin to apply it? He says, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So he says, listen, you, Christian believer, you, disciples, you are the children of light. You are in this world, but you no longer belong to this world. You belong to God, and you have been begotten by the Word of God. You have been made new by the Gospel of God, so that now God calls you His children, and He bestows His gifts of grace, wisdom, knowledge, enlightenment, and understanding upon you, so that not only are you a child of the light, but you know you are a child of the light, and you know what that means. But you know, you've heard the expression that a certain person is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. You ever hear that? Well, that's kind of a rough approximation, right? By the way, if you really are, let me just dispel something. If you really are truly heavenly minded and not just a lazy space cadet, but you are truly heavenly minded, you will be very good in earthly things as well. You will be scrupulously honest. You will do your best at everything you put your hand to. If you are truly heavenly minded, you will be good at being in this world as well, because you will keep your heart properly centered. But if we want to understand this, what Jesus is saying is that sometimes Christian people are kind of dumb and kind of naive, and they don't know how to do things that accrue to their favor. And now what's Jesus talking about? Number one, lesson number one is this. You don't own anything. You are a steward. You say, Pastor, I drove here in a nice car. I have a nice house that I paid the mortgage on. I have a refrigerator at home full of delicious food. And I say to you, everything that you have, everything, you do not own it, and you did not create it. God has given it over to you for you to manage. And therefore, you are not an owner. You are a manager of somebody else's goods. Just like this steward in the text. And it is required of a steward that he be faithful. You know when stewards get into trouble? They get into trouble when they think that they own the master's money and property. When they begin to use it as if it's theirs. And before you know it, they're in trouble. And so, we must remember at all times, has God blessed you with money and a nice house and nice assets? He has given them to you for you to use for two purposes. Number one, the glory of God. And number two, the benefit of your neighbor. That's why he put you in this world. That's the job he has given you as a Christian. That's what all of your time, your money, and your skills are to be directed to in this life. Because you are not an owner. You are a manager of somebody else's goods who has entrusted them to you for you to manage. All right? And you are accountable to him. All right? Now, that's the first thing. We are to remember that we're not owners, but managers. Now listen, the world doesn't believe this. If an unbeliever were to be listening to my sermon today, in his impenitence and his unbelief, he would say, that reverend is an idiot. All right? That's what he'd be saying. All right? Because the world can't even begin this concept. Wait a minute. I went out to work and I earned my salary. And I gave money to my wife, and she went out to the grocery store, and she paid my money for that food that she cooked, and we sat down and eat. And you're telling me that it's not mine? That's exactly what I'm telling you. There's not one thing. Let me tell you something. If you had the biggest, juiciest steak sitting on a plate right in front of you, and it became the will of God for you to not be nourished by it, you would starve to death while stuffing your face with the steak. Because it is not ultimately the steak that nourishes, but the fact that God has given the steak to nourish you, and that He continues to will to use it to nourish you. It's called divine providence. God governs all things. We receive everything that we have. Our intellect, our goods, our possessions, our time, everything that we have that we prize in life, we receive it from the hand of God. Yes, it's through intermediaries, it's through means, but it is nevertheless from God's hand. And therefore, we are stewards. All right, now, finally, all that stuff, we get to the end, and he says this. He says, okay, now here's the application, part two. What you guys got to do is, you kind of got to do like that unjust steward did. He knew how to use his master's money to make friends for himself. And he says, that's what you guys have to do. Jesus says to his disciples, that's what you have to do. You have to use the mammon of unrighteousness, filthy lucre, right? You have to use the mammon of unrighteousness to make friends for yourselves so that when you die, you'll have a wonderful welcoming committee in heaven cheering when they see you walk through the pearly gates. Say, Pastor, that sounds kind of strange, right? Aren't we saved by grace through faith? Absolutely we are. But you know, just as we are saved by grace through faith alone before God, before men, we demonstrate our faith by the works that we do. Alright? How does somebody else know that you are a child of God? They know because you say, I go to church, I'm a child of God, I believe in Jesus. But they also know because they see you doing the kind of works in your life that a person who professes faith in Christ ought to be doing. And so he's saying here, make friends for yourselves with the mammon of unrighteousness. That means use your time and use your talents and use your possessions in a way that glorifies God by your conduct and that blesses your neighbor by your conduct and generosity. And by doing so, there will be a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. You remember the old TV show back in the 1970s, Cheers? Right? Cheers, right? And every time Norm came in, everybody stopped and went, Norm! And he'd say something clever and go and have his beer, right? Well, that's what you want. You want heaven to be the kind of place where you walk through the pearly gates and everybody goes, Turgeson! Right? I knew him when he was just an earthling. Right? So when he says here, when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What he's saying is the same thing that St. Peter says when he says, make every effort to make your calling and election sure. That is, let your good works demonstrate and prove that you have genuine faith. Now God knows that you have faith without even seeing your works. But your neighbor doesn't. Your neighbor can only see the works that you do. He can hear the confession of faith that you make, and then he can see the deeds that you do, and he puts these two together and he says, that is a Christian. What a blessing to know that believing Christian. So when Jesus is saying, make friends for yourselves with the mammon of unrighteousness so that they will form a great welcoming party when you get to heaven after you die, what he's saying is, use everything that God has given you for his glory and for the benefit of your neighbor. And so essentially, what we have here is Jesus urging us to be smart in the use of our stewardship or our management. To remember that we are managers, to remember that everything that we have belongs to God, and to therefore glorify Him and bless our neighbor with our time, our skills, and our possessions. Amen.